love the fact that UN Women has worked so much on the women's movement and is finding ways to invest and respond to the different needs. For example, we have the UN Trust Fund to End Violence Against Women that has been promoting really transformative approaches, including recognition of forms, specific forms of violence for certain groups of women and how to address them. There's the Women, Peace, and Humanitarian Fund for emergency situations that, as you know, we have right now in Afghanistan, in Ukraine, that are providing immediate resources, not with the typical UN bureaucracy, but rather what are the needs of women, how do we make sure that women are sitting at the negotiation table and have their voices heard. And I think, for example, during COVID, we did a research in terms of public policies, and those countries that had the strongest feminist movements were the ones that responded better with public policies, with analysis, with civil society organizations participating in decision-making committees and being represented. So I think there are many risks of using the groups, their names, their ideas. But if we are able to sustain and build the movement, and we have seen very large reductions to funding for these groups and these organizations and these initiatives, we can have a level of balance, a level of social auditing. There are so many tools that have been developed, for example, for looking at public spaces. Are some groups discriminated against? Do they have access? Do they have security? All this have been built by the women's movement. And so how can we keep them there so that they hold us to account, so that they are bringing the voices and the needs? I think that's one key issue. And we have seen at least a shift of attitude in terms of our donors to understand this very important paradigm, that it's not only working with some sectors, but with all. It's a very complex structure. And hopefully we will match that with real resources in the future.
I'll use my